Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Welcome back to Right on Four Corners. I'm your host, Elsherie Gladden. I'm a journalist and editor and author of over 30 published novels. And on this week's episode, I have Daniel Asa Rose, and he is going to be talking about his new book, Truth or Consequences. Daniel, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, Cherie. This is Daniel Asa Rose, but you can call me Danny. I recently took back my childhood name.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny you mentioning taking back your childhood name. My full name's Del Cherie, and throughout childhood I was always called Cherie. And at some point, it just kind of switched, and I'm not even sure when people just started using my full name more. It's interesting how much names and how people refer to us influence us.
Which brings us to the title of our book today, I think.
Yes. Let's dive in, because this was such an interesting book. I always find memoir fascinating because I think it's a really challenging genre to write in. The idea of writing memoir fascinates me because it's not just like, okay, here's the story of my entire life. You have to find that section of your life that is a story in itself. And one of the things that really fascinated me about reading Truth or Consequences was I didn't know where it was going or what the ending was going to be and how you were going to bring everything together. It just kept me going.
Well, good, good. It kept you reading, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
I had the time of my life writing it. It was both a difficult thing and an easy thing. Did I tell you a little bit about what brought the book on?
Yes, Truth or Consequences. Please, yeah.
I'm going to read the subtitle, first of all. It is Truth or Consequences, Improbable Adventures, a Near-Death Experience, and Unexpected Redemption in the New Mexico Desert. So if you're still with us at that point, you can zoom along. I go for long titles. I like to give the flavor right away.
So give listeners a little bit of background on just what the book is and just the premise of it. Because this is through UNM Press, when I was reading through their spring catalog and seeing which books I wanted to start with. This one jumped out at me, and I wonder how this initial event that starts off the book, how that affected you and your life and where the story was going to go and how what portion of your life it was going to encompass.
In 1970, you're too young to remember this, Cherie. Some of us will remember 1970 was the crisis in on American campuses. About 60% of universities and colleges were shut down in opposition to the Vietnam War. And the others of us decided to take a cross-country trip. All across country, the highways were filled with kids in their 20s and 30s, really 22 to 28, I'd say. They just took to the road and saw what could happen. Tony and I had been friends since sixth grade. He'd always wanted to take a joyride. He found the most decrepit, broken-down Jeep he could find, which we gloried in. It seemed the height of glamour to us to just take off in a vehicle with no doors, no mufflers, no nothing, and see where we could go. Well, we went for about 5 days cross-country until I heard a sound, and the sound turned out to be my voice. And the voice was saying, "Danny, she's not stopping." What she was referring to was a beautiful blonde woman, what my glimpse of her was, who T-boned us in the main downtown area of Truth or Consequences. And Tony went out. Tony was stopped by his windshield and took on 38 stitches. I started flying out the window, but I had just taken off my seatbelt. So I don't know if there's an argument to be made one way or another whether they're safe or not. In this case, it certainly did save my life because I flew out the open door at the moment of impact and landed on my back 30 feet away. I pause to think that every time I think that because it was the miracle of my life. Tony referred to it as a miracle crash when he got out of the hospital because it was something else. And when I awoke, I was in the lap of the blonde woman who was saying, you're safe, you're okay, you're doing all right, you haven't lost any limbs. all I could tell was like jump up on my legs, on my feet and hands, and see if I could walk quickly away from the scene of this debacle. Ambulances came, Tony was put in the hospital. I stayed for a while and talked to Tony and eventually hitchhiked home with a memory that I would never have repeated in my life again. The idea that I could be knocked out of a car, an open door car, and pushed out, thrown 30 feet into the air, and to land with only a chipped tooth. That's all I had. Tony had all his stitches. I had this very minimalist crash, but it was enough to me to kind of wake me up and give me a sense of wackiness in the world and rapture. Gave me a sense of the arbitrariness of life, that if I had been moving an inch closer to Tony or him to me, maybe it would have been a totally different outcome. But as it was, we both survived. Tony couldn't use his eyes for about 6 months, but I hitchhiked home the next day to Connecticut, where we were from, and I thought about it. I got home and I called Tony and we talked about it. And I called my parents and I talked about it, about the flukiness of it and the weirdness of it and the magic of it, that we had this kind of experience together and we were not hurt. We were not killed. What did that mean to us? And how could we make sense of it? I've heard about near-death experiences. So anyway, decades later, Tony and I would get together every year or two and talk about our crash. It really was the center of our conversation. We were very close. But in my 50s, I suffered a divorce of the worst variety, not meaning that she was bad in any way, or she was wonderful, I was wonderful, he was polite. We still loved each other, but we needed some time apart. So Tony came over and said, what you need to do is get out of town, give yourself some space. Let's finish taking the tour of Truth or Consequences that we never finished back in the day. I said, Tony, you are insane. No one is going to go back to a site of a crash. He said, just come with me. I've got the tickets. Here they are. They're at some point. Tony sent me the tickets. I couldn't resist. I left the next day after proper goodbyes, loving goodbyes, and expectation of coming back in, what, a week, 2 weeks? Well, I didn't. I went out, and I started to try and look for the woman who had hit us. Her name was Mary. That's all I knew. But we didn't know how to find her or what routes we could take or any other thing like that. We checked out the local churches. We checked police stations, which closed at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think. It was difficult to get information. We went to see the hospital, but there was no go. Then we went back to the hospital a few days later to check it out again to see if maybe there was still had some records. And a wonderful woman in the clerk's office came out from the back room with an index card that was as fresh and white as the day it was indexed in the hospital archives. And there it was, said Charles Anthony Tony. And I said, Tony, when did you take on the name Charles? And he goes, well, when did you take on the name Asa Daniel? So he got me there. But it had the date, it had the name of the cops who had taken care of us. Really wonderfully. So we got the name of the cops, we got the name of the hospital clerk who helped us, and we went detectiving through the town, making terrible nuisances of ourselves. We went to the knitting class at the center. No luck. And everybody was getting to be kind of characters in town at this point. People knew we couldn't find a woman from 40 years ago, and there were no records of her ever having existed. Well, there was. We had a record of her, and we went to see her, or to see what we could of her. And that's where the story begins.
Thank you for giving that wrap up. I think that it's so interesting that you start off the book with this major event that happens in your life. And then, as you said, decades later, another traumatic event in a different sense, sparked by, you know, separating from your wife and then having that time away from your family, brought those two moments back together and started you and Tony on this journey that you get the sense as the reader that even though you guys had a goal, you know, finding this woman, finding Mary, there's also this sense of not quite knowing what the point of the journey is and where it's going to lead. Just right, this need to explore and to find something. And that was an interesting vein throughout the book, because it leaves the reader going, where is this going? What are they going to learn?
It's a bouquet of strange events that take place over the next 8 months. I rent a single-wide trailer, very proud of my single-wide trailer. It was a beautiful vehicle. Tony went back. Tony was pretty spooked out after just a few days in Tears and wanted to go home. He chickened out. And yes, if you're listening, I'm calling it as it is. Left me stranded, boy. He left. I took the 8 months in this wonderful trailer run by some wonderful people in town, Glenn and Shana. So we became devotees of Truth or Consequences. We thought it was a pretty weird little burg when we first got there. There were a lot of strange things going on. Astral massages and colonic, spiderweb colonic. I mean, just, and most of this I'm making up because I like to exaggerate in any case. But with the material here that was presented to me here, it was hard to go beyond the bizarreness that was offered to me every day and every night living in this town by myself. And slowly befriending people. Befriended Summer, a local character who was I'll save you that for the book. He was, he's an amazing character, one of the most amazing people I've ever met. And I'll leave you guys to read it together, you and Summer. Yeah, it was just a wonderful town. It was wacky. It was wiggy. People made a point of being characters there. I think people came there to be characters, to be the characters they always wanted to be. They just have this freedom to go where they wanted and to take on new identities. So we would say we, I meant me, because Tony, as I said, had already chickened out again and was back home. And I would call him every few days. He'd be in my pocket when I'd go interview people. I'd interviewed a newspaper editor who was a delightful, witty, wonderful woman. And I most of all befriended a policeman who was at the scene 40 years earlier. Can you imagine that? The one who had called for the ambulance and brought us up Ambulance Hill at a slant so severe we almost rolled out, I almost rolled out the back. The more we found out about the town, the more freaked Tony got, because there were so many spooky things that happened. Like, I won't even tell you right now. Let's get together and I'll read it to you.
It is a fascinating town. And living in New Mexico, I've been through Truth or Consequences a few times, but I haven't spent any significant time there. But even the little bit I have, it's one of those towns that you do. You go through it or you make a quick stop and you're just like, this
exactly
is an interesting this place.
See what I said, talk about. I went to an AA group, mostly for kicks, but not entirely for kicks. I went to the various churches, I said, and I made little sermons asking if anybody had contact with Mary, anybody had heard of her in the last 40 years, where she'd escaped to, and what she could tell me about the crash from her point of view. I just knew I had to know more about the crash. After all, it had saved my life. It was a miracle crash. And I wanted to just ask as many people as I could. And it turned up fascinating results, such as the fact that in one of the bars, and yes, there were a number of smoky bars, in one of them, we encountered a person who said he was a witness to the crash 40 years earlier. I said, that was me. You flew out? I said, yeah, it was me. I flew out. You flew out? I said, yes. I said, do you have any advice for me? He said, yeah, don't flew it again. That was his wisdom 40 years later. Everybody was forthcoming. Everybody talked to us openly. Everybody was quite entranced by the miracle of this crash. I mean, let's just review it one more time. I flew 30 feet in the air and landed on my face so that I cracked my front tooth. Other than that, nothing, no problem. In the course of writing this book, I recalled, they call it a recalled memory, I recalled the moment of flying in the air.
Wow.
It was a great adventure. It took place on many, many levels. I'm glad it spoke to you, Shireen. I couldn't find Mary anywhere. She had disappeared off the face of the earth. I got some records of marriage certificates that took place during the interim that I'd been aloft, and I was pointed in the direction of somebody at the post office whose name you will read later. I met her son. I never knew he had a son, but he had a 20-year-old son, and we sort of adopted each other. He had two adorable little children, really the sweetest children you've ever seen, a wonderful wife, and it turned out, and they would make dinner for me sometimes in their single wide, or they would take me to see the Geronimo tree. They gave me like a tour of the town that I was so well becoming familiar with. It turned out my new friends were very poor in a financial sense, because there are other senses of being poor and of being rich. It turned out they were dirt poor. They struggled hard for their jobs, but it was, it's difficult, especially in a place like the Southwest, which for all its glories is tough, tough to live in, tough to exist in. And I learned that I said, Sergeant, well, don't you have a lawyer? And he says, well, yeah, but that's a difficult question. He hasn't been around for a while. So I said, well, do you mind if I poke around at the lawyer's office a little bit and find some information? And he said, be my guest. Just don't blow it. And I said, okay, I'll do my best. So we met the lawyer who had some really good ideas. And we also, in the end, we made dear friends with this family. They kind of replaced the family that I had temporarily left at home in Connecticut. I had every intention of going back, but still, something about this town was unfinished. Something needed to be fully told, even more fully told, and that's what happens. A big twist in the book takes place. We'll tell you over a beer sometime. Maybe at Andy's. I think they've got good, what's it called, ice cold or something like that?
Well, that is, yeah, I don't want to give away any of the surprises in the book because there were several. But now,
did it bother you that we dropped the plot a few times and picked it up a few pages later?
No, I found the pacing and the structure to be very compelling because I didn't know, you know, a lot of times going into fiction, into novels, and this does read very much like a novel, which I want to ask you about in a minute. But, you know, a lot of times with novels, you kind of know what you're getting into. Well, it's this genre. This is the general structure. It's going to have one of several types of resolution. Like as a reader, you kind of have those expectations going into a certain type of book. And with something like this, with memoir in general, you don't know what you're getting into a lot of the times. You don't know what that structure is going to be. You don't know what all it's going to encompass. And I think this book especially, that was true for, because it is not only this journey of trying to find Mary, it was so much a journey of self-discovery.
Oh, Sean, so glad you...
Yeah, just... Exactly. You were facing so much in that moment on with your family and everything going on there and reconnecting with these events from the past. That,
well put.
Yeah, it didn't follow the structure that maybe readers are expecting.
Yeah, no, this twists and curves and brings you to places you never expected to be in before, which a lot of which is meeting the people of TRC and getting to know them really, really deeply. We have deep conversations at AA and other places. And we just had a kind of redemption, not to do a kind of redemption in a way, because I hadn't known these people a few months before. And here they were my companions. We'd have breakfast together at the restaurant. There was even an organic restaurant there of all places to have a diner. But it was a very satisfactory diner. I'd like to send out my thank yous to the delicatessen lady. I found that I had been like one of those tourists who rush right through a place without even taking notice of what it's about, and usually sort of ignoring it, usually sort of dismissing it with little regard for its uniqueness. But as the months went by, that was corrected because I started really falling in love with these people. They were so interesting. And I don't say that in a condescending way by any means, because they were teaching me a lot. At AA, they taught me a lot of things. They said, you know, if a person kicks you out, you just, I'll save it for the book. I got really the lessons of life from these people at AA.
Well, and that was something that I found interesting throughout reading this and in the various stages of the story. This is a very unique experience that I don't think most people have in their opportunity to just completely step out of their life, their everyday, regular life. And, I mean, you were really kind of just, you know, you went willingly, but it almost seemed like you were just plucked out of your life and dropped somewhere completely new. And you had to navigate that, not only physically, because at the time you're not driving, you're doing a lot of this on foot or on the Flower Power bike, which is a lovely visual. And so you're physically learning to navigate this town and then also making those contacts with people on a social level, but relearning so much about yourself as well. And you bring up a lot of topics of, you know, looking back at how you interacted with people in your day-to-day life and recognizing some of those things that I think a lot of us don't have those moments in our life where we can stop and just step completely out of everything and look at it from an observer perspective. And that seemed like this experience gave you that opportunity as you're meeting new people and seeing so many different lifestyles and ways of living and different types of problems than maybe what you had dealt with. And that really impactful perspective shift that you experienced. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you a little bit more about
that. Love the way you just described that. That was to a T.
Tell me about that process and how that played back into how you wrote this. It's like I said, it's very narrative, the style. It reads like a novel, which not all memoir captures. So I really enjoyed that. It was very easy to read and flow through. How did you take this whole 8-month experience of being in TRC and then turn it into a narrative story?
Yeah, good question again. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was looking for. I had this vague idea, but half fantasy, that I'd find this was a beautiful blonde, or maybe not. And I went after something that I wasn't sure what it was. And that made it for all, I was scared in the beginning. It was very foreign territory. Some of those bars were pretty rough. Though God knows I had my share back in Connecticut. It frightened me in the beginning. I was alone with Tony gone and in the middle of a desert storm of epic proportions. I was sort of locked into my trailer for 3 days. Maybe I'm wrong on the dates. I might be wrong on a lot of the dates. In fact, I'm sure that I'm wrong on half the dates. I was living in a kind of alternate universe while I tracked down Mary and while I tried to talk to my family from afar and put things right. It was an alternate kind of reality. Well, let me go back to one thing I want to tell you about. This was the beginning of the book by Sinclair Lewis, who wrote Our Town. He said, with their rough teasing and their shy idealism, the average citizens of the United States are the most fascinating and exotic people in the world. I mean, that just sends me. Most people have an attitude towards middle America that is less than flattering. I took the time to stop. I was required to stop. I had to slow down and take my time and make sure my time there lasted and gave my family a chance to heal if that's what we were going to do. But to have that, I think they looked by it at 60,000 miles a year, I believe. I have it in my book, but I don't have it here. That was the number of people who would whiz by in their cars on the interstate, never stopping, never noticing what the landscape was about, never talking to people. Well, I did. I had 8 weeks of that. And I have many, many, well, 4 or 5 friends from my time at TRC who wanted to be my guide in town, who wanted to show me, oh, you want to see a quirky person? Here's this guy. It's me. Come watch. It just brought out a new side of me that I wasn't in any way prepared for. And that's what I wanted, after all. I wanted to be thrown off my keister. Is that a word? Mm-hmm. That I wanted to be knocked out of my chair, and I was. And I think it was life-enhancing in a way that nothing else has ever been in my life. I would love to go back. I know it's changed in the last year since I've been back, and I'm really curious and I'm really dreading it. But I want to see some of these people again, because it's not too much to say I fell in love with them. I fell in love with a bunch of them.
I think that's fascinating, the openness that you were able to develop while there.
I'm a novelist by trade. I've done a bunch of books. Mm-hmm. I've been around, and I'm open for adventure. I'm up for adventure, especially with people as willing as these people were. And it's funny, did I mention this book is funny? These characters, I mean, Roy Joy, you won't believe until you read the book. You will not believe Roy Joy, and then you may blush a little bit. You may put the book down so nobody else will see it, but that night you'll pick it up again. That's what's gonna happen to Roy Joy and a lot of other characters. Mm-hmm. So that's the beginning of my story. I didn't structure it, I didn't plan for it, I didn't know what was coming, I didn't know what was going. I just knew I had to do this. The crash happened in 1970, and some 40 years later, I go back to figure it out. That's nuts, Dan. Oh, Danny. That's right. I'm Danny again. That's nuts. But I just had the feeling. I was driven. It was almost a life and death thing. I escaped death once at the intersection. I won't get into it now, but of Truth and Consequences. And here I had been vouchsafed another life. And I had to do it. It was a compulsion. I had to go over the things that I watched the first time, etc. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and this, I think, is such an interesting read, because you did have the initial experience and then the experience of going back that I think
most people don't
have an opportunity like that. And what do you hope people who read this take away from this book and from your experience and what you learned through all of this?
Okay, I'll go there. I'm going to read that sentence again. With their rough teasing and their shy idealism, the average citizens of the United States are the most fascinating and exotic people in the world. They were. I didn't know that. That's a truth in life about how amazing people are. I didn't know it until I was in the depths of writing this book. And then it blew my mind. I really made lifelong friends with some of these people. I'm in correspondence with, as I said, a bunch of them. One of them brought me a burrito one night because they said they had enough at their house. I gladly ate it in my. So I had this experience, and it just deepened over time. And I could not pull myself away. Finally, after 8 months, I pulled myself away. I went home to face the music. We're good people, so we did the best we could with each other. So, in conclusion, what do you think? What I want readers to take away is a sense that those 60,000 people who drive their vehicles, those 60,000 people were neglecting a beautiful and rich part of life by skipping out on this, by racing through the highway, by going through 95 without stopping, to take a sleeping bag one night and sleep out on the dunes. I had the chance to do that, and I did it the most I could. It was hard to tear myself away, but I may go back.
I hope you do get the opportunity to go back. And I think that idea of, you know, stopping and observing, a lot of times with authors and I think artists and musicians, people who create something and share, often get that question, you know, oh, where do you get your ideas? Where do you find your inspiration? And I think that's a great example of, you know, it's everywhere. Everywhere. Moment, there is something that can spark something. And I think we get so busy and we're going from thing to thing to thing. And when we stop and take that time to observe and take notice, there is so much out there.
So much richness. So much richness. We can scratch the surface in our lives. And now, old man, apparently, and I hope to keep that going for a long time, or as long as I can.
Yeah.
And a lot along by this trip.
Well, and I hope people who read this take that time to just be a little bit more aware, a little bit more observant, and have those opportunities to connect and open themselves up to what's out there in the world.
And to have access to this kind of a life, the things that you were aware of beforehand, just expansions, and realizing that life is more magical and, yes, at times more mystical than we ever beforehand.
I like that. And Danny, we are about out of time, but I do want to give you a chance. Where can readers find the book, which again is Truth or Consequences by Daniel Asa Rose? Where can people find the book, and where can they find the rest of your work and stay up to date on your future projects?
Well, thanks for asking. I think for the purpose of buying a book, it should be Daniel Asa Rose, the full name, but Dan Rose will be fine. Also at Amazon, the usual outlets. There's been a lot of interest preliminarily, so.
What is your website? Where can people sign up or just keep an eye on to see what other books you're going to have coming out in the future?
Okay. Well, my release date is May 1st. And my website is danielasarose.com.
Nice and simple. That's always helpful.
Nice and simple. Because the subtitles are so complex.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well make up for it on these guys.
All right. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me about this and just to share more of your story and your perspective with our listeners. I really enjoyed having the chance to talk with you.
It's been a real pleasure.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.